Warning, you are about to listen to a life-changing session of the Think and Grow Rich Global Mastermind podcast. Any mind-blowing income, health, happiness, and otherwise earth-shattering testimonials of total transformation are not meant to serve as a guarantee of what will happen in your life as you continue to plug into this podcast. Rather, they're meant to give you an idea of what's possible. Bear in mind, results are not guaranteed, they are earned. Be forewarned, common side effects of listening to this podcast may include increased mental alertness, random and unexplained feelings of joy, a crystal clear sense of purpose in life, spontaneous outbursts of laughter, obscene amounts of new and exciting monetary deposits, and other ridiculously awesome symptoms of living a purpose-filled life. Please enjoy the show.
What do you want more than anything? Yes, what is your most cherished dream? Now take a deep breath and decide that you want it more than you're afraid of it. What's up, moneymakers? This is Mahara Tucker in Atlanta, Georgia, and you're on the Think and Grow Rich call. Our talented founder, Mr. Paul Hutchings, will be with us shortly. But for now, tell us your name and where you're calling in from.
Elizabeth from Virginia.
Hey, Elizabeth, what's going on?
Good morning.
Oh, I'm excited. I got a son who's got a birthday today. I can't believe I got somebody who's 47 years old that I birthed.
Good Lord in heaven. That is a blessing.
That's right.
Happy birthday to your son.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mahara and Think and Grow Rich team. Larry and Wendy, McKinney, Texas.
Good morning,
Mahara.
This is Dave from Minnesota.
Who are you? Nancy in Illinois.
Hey, Nancy. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hey, Think and Grow Rich family and Mahara. Welcome. And it's Lori.
Hey, Lori. Good morning and welcome to the call. We're glad you're here.
Oh, glad to be here.
Carrie from Arkansas.
Hey, good morning.
Carolina.
Was that Nicole?
Get excited.
Good morning, Nicole. We're glad you're with us.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Amy in Las Vegas.
Hey, Eglow. Good morning in Vegas.
Good morning, Mahara. Lisa Scott, New Jersey.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Tina Rohde, New York City.
Who's that?
Phil Langhals in Port Clinton, Ohio.
Hey, Phil, we're glad you're with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who is the lady in New York City?
That's me, Tina Rohde. How are you, family?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
Welcome.
Good morning, Mahara. It's Carrie from Bronx, New York. How you doing? It's terrific Tuesday.
Hey, Carrie. It is terrific, and I am excited this morning.
All right. You go, girl.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Robert in New Jersey.
Hey, Robert. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning, Dwayne in Ohio.
Hey, Dwayne. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Denise from Las Vegas.
Good morning in Vegas. Welcome to the call.
Good morning. It's Angela in Southern California.
Hey, Angela. We're glad you're here.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Selma from Atlanta.
Hey, Selma. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. This is Belle in Florida.
Hey, Belle.
Hi.
Good morning, everyone. This is Linda from Texas. Excuse me.
Hi, Linda.
Alexis from Cleveland.
Good morning, Mahara. Larry Coast Boston.
Hey, Larry Coast.
Shahida.
Hi.
Cincinnati.
Hey, Shahida. Good morning.
Jay Rizzle in the house.
Hey, Rizzle. What's happening?
What's going on, baby girl?
Hey, Jared
is ATL. I know it, girl. I know it.
Good morning, Mayor. It's Chanel in California.
Good morning, Richard and Dawn in Vegas.
Hey, Richard and Dawn. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Mahara. This is Danny from Morgan.
Hi, Mahara. Good morning. It's Hyacinth from New Jersey.
Hello, beautiful Hyacinth. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mahara. I'm there for Jacksonville.
Hey, Andre.
Doing great. How about yourself?
For successful people, because we realize that having success in our lives
is important. We realize that life is important, and we realize that as we continue to study the people who have achieved great results in life, and as we continue to study the people who have studied those people, right? That's an interesting thought. Study the people who have studied the people who have achieved great results in life. Why would we want to do that? Well, so we can have leverage, right? I was talking to a very successful guy yesterday, a system creator of a, you know, a certain system, and I got a phone call from him, and I was grateful to hear his story and to hear, you know, how he got to where he is in life. And one of the things that he said is, he said, you know, Paul, we're all seeking leverage. We're all seeking leverage. We're all seeking to get more with the time that we have. We're seeking to leverage time. We're seeking to leverage resources. We're seeking to, you know, leverage an organization if we're building a, you know, a network marketing business. We're seeking to leverage employees if we're building a traditional business. We're seeking to leverage money if we're, you know, investing in real estate. We're seeking leverage. He says, we're seeking leverage. And isn't it true that when we study the people who have studied successful people, don't we get leverage? Like, if we take a guy like Napoleon Hill, who invested his entire life, really, initially it was about 20, 25 years, his initial study, but, you know, he continued to study throughout his entire life. In fact, later on in life, he added a couple of things, right? We read The Law of Success in 1925, and we learn the 16 laws, right? There's mastermind as the foundation, and we go from definite purpose all the way up to the golden rule. Well, as Dr. Hill continued, that was his first 20, 25 years of research, as he continued to study all throughout his life, he added a few laws. He added the law of positive mental attitude. You know, him and W. Clement Stone, they would get in little disagreements, you know, friendly disagreements over whether it was more important to have a positive mental attitude or to have a definite major purpose. So they added positive mental attitude. And then later on in life, he added a principle called the law of cosmic habit force. Over his lifetime, he's studying these laws. Well, cool thing is, as we study what he studied and uncovered, we can leverage his entire life's work. So we don't have to go out and meet all the many hundreds and thousands of successful people on planet Earth. I mean, yeah, we'll still meet them. We'll still read their biographies as we're going along. But take a guy whose life work was to study those people and learn from him. You see how that leverages his time and his effort so that we can get more out of a much smaller amount of time? So that's one of the reasons that we come to this call on a daily basis. It's so that we can get leverage, and so that hopefully, as fast as humanly possible, we can gather up the ideas and the philosophies and the laws of success, gather them up from the call, gather them up from the works of Dr. Napoleon Hill and others, so that we can invest them in our own lives and the lives of people around us, so that we can have leverage, so that we can get what we want to get, have what we want to have, be who we want to be, and really live our life legacy here on this planet Earth. So that's one of the reasons that I come to this call, and I hope it is one of the reasons that you come to this call, so that you get leverage and learn great things. So in any case, wanted to share those thoughts, and I also wanted to share another reason we come to this call, another reason I come to this call, is so that I can be inspired, because it seems like success in life takes a couple of things. It takes understanding what goes into success, right, the laws, the thinking patterns, all this stuff, and then it also takes inspiration. Doesn't it take inspiration? W. Clement Stone, in his book, Success Through the Success System That Never Fails, talks about how there are three things we need to succeed, and number one is inspiration to action. Inspiration to action. So as we're picking up the laws, we also need to be inspired, don't we? We need to be inspired. So I wanted to share an inspirational story from one of our Think and Grow Rich family members, Lisa Scott. We all know and love Lisa Scott. Great, valued Think and Grow Rich practitioner who contributes to us and our lives continually. She shared a quick little story in our Facebook group that I wanted to pass along just in case you missed it. It was so powerful, so profound, such a great example of what she's doing in her life for her children. So she posted this beautiful picture of her and her daughter, Robin. I don't know if I've ever seen a more beautiful picture. Seriously, just such a beautiful picture of mother and daughter, two beautiful ladies. And she wrote this. She said, "My youngest daughter, Robin, believed that she wasn't going to do well in the fourth grade. She said her mind kept telling her that she couldn't do it. I reminded Robin that she controls her mind. Her mind does not control her. and to tell herself that she can do it. Robin told me today that she now has a lucky necklace, and every night before she goes to bed, she kisses the necklace and says, I can do it. There's no such thing as I can't. Woo-hoo, she writes. Team Scott is caught up in the current. And what current is she talking about? The success current, the positive mental attitude current, the current that reminds us that we do control our thinking and that we can help others see that great truth as well, even our children. And how much more powerful of a future is Robin going to have because Lisa Scott is her mom, because a powerful thinker is her mother, because a concerned parent, Lisa Scott, is Robin's mom, and she's taking the time to learn these things herself, apply them herself, so that she can be a practitioner, and so that when she says this stuff to Robin, it means something, because it's coming from someone who's living this stuff, right? How much more powerful of a future is Robin going to have? It's an easy question to answer, isn't it? So we're improving ourselves, we're improving our businesses, and we're investing in future generations here in the Think and Grow Rich family. So, Lisa, I just wanted to give you a big round of applause. And, guys, I'm going to unmute the lines. If you're excited about what we're going to learn today, if you're excited about how we're going to grow together today, if you're excited about Lisa Scott and what she's doing in her life and what she's doing for her children, let's go ahead and give a hoop and holler into the phone. So I unmute the lines right now. You guys there? Anyone here? That's so awesome. I heard someone chanting, Lisa, Lisa, Lisa. good stuff. All right, guys. Well, hey, let's go through our definite purpose self-confidence formula. Star 6, who has that ready and prepared to lead us through that this morning? Come on out.
Hi, Paul. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Who's that?
Good morning. It's Kate from Connecticut.
Oh, fantastic, Kate. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for the opportunity. Good morning, everyone. My major definite purpose, by the first day of 2015, I will have in my possession, which will come to me in various amounts from time to time during the interim. In exchange for this, I will give the most efficient service of which I am capable, rendering the fullest possible quantity and the best possible quality of service in the capacity of. I believe that I will have this in my possession. My faith is so strong that I can now see this before my eyes. I can touch it with my hands. It is now awaiting transfer to me at the time and in the proportion that I deliver the service I intend to render for it. I am awaiting a plan by which to accumulate this, and I will follow that plan when it is received. Self-confidence formula. First, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. Therefore, I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward its attainment, and I here and now promise to render such action. Second, I realize the dominating thoughts of my mind will eventually reproduce themselves in outward physical action and gradually transform themselves into physical reality. Therefore, I will concentrate my thoughts for 30 minutes daily upon the task of thinking of the person I intend to become, thereby creating in my mind a clear mental picture of that person. Third, I know through the principle of auto-suggestion, any desire I persistently hold in my mind will eventually seek expression through some practical means of attaining the object back of it. Therefore, I will devote 10 minutes daily to demanding of myself the development of self-confidence. Fourth, I have clearly written down a description of my definite chief aim in life, and I will never stop trying until I shall have developed sufficient self-confidence for its attainment. Fifth, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all of whom it affects. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. I will sign my name to this formula, commit it to memory, and repeat it aloud once a day with full faith that it will gradually influence my thoughts and actions so that I will become a self-reliant and successful person. O divine providence, I ask not for more riches, but more wisdom with which to make wiser use of the riches you gave me at birth, consisting of the power to control and direct my own mind to whatever ends I might desire.
I love that so much. You're awesome, Kate. Thank you for doing that. You did such a great job. Hold on. If you think Kate did a great job and you believe in her and her ability to do great things in life, let's let her know real quick. How different would the world be if everywhere you went, you had crowds of people cheering you on, telling you you could do it, telling you to believe in yourself, telling you to go for your dreams? I just had that thought, you know, as I unmuted the lines and we all, you know, did what we did and said what we said and expressed what we expressed to Kate. And the cool thing for me is, at least on this call, we know we got that, right? We know we got that. And maybe we can spill over into the rest of the world. Who knows? That's the hope, right? So let's pick up where Kate left off. We're in chapter 2 of the book Think and Grow Rich, which is entitled Faith, Visualization of Belief in the Attainment of Desire. And Dr. Hill actually, on page 45 of 235, just gave us the self-confidence formula that Kate just read. So I'm not going to reread it, but we'll pick up right after the fifth line that Dr. Hill gives us. So he writes, "Back of this formula is a law of nature which no man has yet been able to explain. It has baffled the scientists of all ages. The psychologists have named this law autosuggestion and let it go at that. The name by which one calls this law is of little importance. The important fact about it is it works for the glory and success of mankind if it is used constructively. On the other hand, if used destructively, it will destroy just as readily. In this statement may be found a very significant truth, namely that those who go down in defeat and end their lives in poverty, misery, and distress do so because of negative application of the principle of autosuggestion. The cause may be found in the fact that all impulses of thought have a tendency to clothe themselves in their physical equivalent. The subconscious mind, the chemical laboratory in which all thought impulses are combined and made ready for translation into physical reality, makes no distinction between constructive and destructive thought impulses. It works with the material we feed it through our thought impulses. The subconscious mind will translate into reality a thought driven by fear just as readily as it will translate into reality a thought driven by courage or faith. The pages of medical history are rich with illustrations of cases of, quote, suggestive suicide, close quote. A man may commit suicide through negative suggestion just as effectively as by any other means. In a Midwestern city, a man by the name of Joseph Grant, a bank official, quote, borrowed, close quote, a large sum of the bank's money without the consent of the directors. He lost the money through gambling. One afternoon, the bank examiner came and began to check the accounts. Grant left the bank, took a room in a local hotel, and when they found him 3 days later, he was lying in bed, wailing and moaning, repeating over and over these words, quote, "My God, this will kill me. I cannot stand the disgrace," close quote. In a short time, he was dead. The doctors pronounced the case one of mental suicide. Just as electricity will turn the wheels of industry and render useful service if used constructively, or snuff out life if wrongly used, so will the law of auto-suggestion lead you to peace and prosperity, or down into the valley of misery, failure, and death, according to your degree of understanding and application of it. If you fill your mind with fear, doubt, and unbelief in your ability to connect with and use the forces of infinite intelligence, the law of autosuggestion will take this spirit of unbelief and use it as a pattern by which your subconscious mind will translate it into its physical equivalent. This statement is as true as the statement that 2 and 2 are 4. Like the wind which carries one ship east and another west, the law of auto-suggestion will lift you up or pull you down according to the way you set your sails of thought. The law of auto-suggestion through which any person may rise to altitudes of achievement which stagger the imagination is well described in the following verse. If you think you are beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win, but you think you can't, it is almost certain you won't. If you think you'll lose, you're lost. For out of the world we find, success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you are outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win a prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man. But soon or late, the man who wins is the man who thinks he can. Observe the words which have been emphasized, and you will catch the deep meaning which the poet had in mind. Somewhere in your makeup, perhaps in the cells of your brain, there lies sleeping the seed of achievement, which, if aroused and put into action, would carry you to heights such as you may never have hoped to attain. Just as a master musician may cause the most beautiful strains of music to pour forth from the strings of a violin, so may you arouse the genius which lies asleep in your brain and cause it to drive you upward to whatever goal you may wish to achieve. Abraham Lincoln was a failure at everything he tried until he was well past the age of 40. He was a Mr. Nobody from nowhere until a great experience came into his life, aroused the sleeping genius within his heart and brain, and gave the world one of its really great men. That experience was mixed with the emotions of sorrow and love. It came to him through Ann Rutledge, the only woman whom he ever truly loved. It is a known fact that the emotion of love is closely akin to the state of mind known as faith. And this for the reason that love comes very near to translating one's thought impulses into their spiritual equivalent. During his work of research, the author discovered from the analysis of the life, work, and achievements of hundreds of men of outstanding accomplishment that there was the influence of a woman's love back of nearly every one of them. The emotion of love in the human heart and brain creates a favorable field of magnetic attraction, which causes an influx of the higher and finer vibrations which are afloat in the ether. If you wish evidence of the power of faith, study the achievements of men and women who have employed it. At the head of the list comes the Nazarene. Christianity is the greatest single force which influences the minds of men. The basis of Christianity is faith. No matter how many people may have perverted or misinterpreted the meaning of this great force, and no matter how many dogmas and creeds have been created in its name which do not reflect its tenets, the sum and substance of the teachings and achievements of Christ, which may have been interpreted as miracles, were nothing more nor less than faith. If there are any such phenomena as miracles, they are produced only through the state of mind known as faith. Some teachers of religion, and many who call themselves Christians, neither understand nor practice faith. Let us consider the power of faith as it is now being demonstrated by a man who is well known to all of civilization, Mahatma Gandhi of India. In this man, the world has one of the most astounding examples known to civilization of the possibilities of faith. Gandhi wields more potential power than any man living at this time, and this despite the fact that he has none of the orthodox tools of power, such as money, battleships, soldiers, and materials of warfare. Gandhi has no money. He has no home. He does not own a suit of clothes, but he does have power. How does he come by that power? He created it out of his understanding of the principle of faith and through his ability to transplant that faith into the minds of 200 million people. Gandhi has accomplished through the influence of faith that which the strongest military power on earth could not and never will accomplish through soldiers and military equipment. He has accomplished the astounding feat of influencing 200 million minds to coalesce and move in unison as a single mind. What other force on earth except faith could do as much? There will come a day when employees as well as employers will discover the possibilities of faith. That day is dawning. The whole world has had ample opportunity during the recent business depression to witness what the lack of faith will do to business. Surely, civilization has produced a sufficient number of intelligent human beings to make use of this great lesson which the Depression has taught the world. During this Depression, the world had evidence in abundance that widespread fear will paralyze the wills of industry and business. Out of this experience will arise leaders in business and industry who will profit by the example which Gandhi has set for the world. And they will apply to business the same tactics which he has used in building the greatest following known in the history of the world. These leaders will come from the rank and file of the unknown men who now labor in the steel plants, the coal mines, the automobile manufacturers, the automobile factories, and in the small towns and cities of America. Business is due for a reform. Make no mistake about this. The methods of the past, based upon economic combinations of force and fear, will be supplanted by the better principles of faith and cooperation. Men who labor will receive more than daily wages. They will receive dividends from the business, the same as those who supply the capital for business. But first, they must give more to their employers and stop this bickering and bargaining by force at the expense of the public. They must earn the right to dividends. Moreover, and this is the most important thing of all, they will be led by leaders who will understand and apply principles employed by Mahatma Gandhi. Only in this way may leaders get from their followers the spirit of full cooperation, which constitutes power in its highest and most enduring form. This stupendous machine age in which we live and from which we are just emerging has taken the soul out of men. Its leaders have driven men as though they were pieces of cold machinery. They were forced to do so by the employees who have bargained at the expense of all concerned to get and not to give. The watchword of the future will now be human happiness and contentment. And when this state of mind shall have been attained, the production will take care of itself more effectively than anything that has ever been accomplished, where men did not and could not mix faith and individual interest with their labor. Because of the need for faith and cooperation in operating business and industry, it will be both interesting and profitable to analyze an event which provides an excellent understanding of the method by which industrialists and businessmen accumulate great fortunes by giving before they try to get. The event chosen for this illustration dates back to 1900, and I think we're going to go ahead and stop there. We'll read this story tomorrow. We have been given quite a bit to think about and ponder, haven't we? Dr. Hill has introduced a couple of thoughts, a couple of laws, right? I like to be on the lookout for laws. As I read through information, as I read through books, I like to be on the lookout for laws, principles that I can pull from the story and put on my list of laws to follow, right? Laws to follow. I won't share that thought. So continuing on here, so a couple of laws that have been pointed out. I made myself chuckle with the thought. I'm sorry. Okay, back to task. A couple of laws that Dr. Hill pointed out. We've got to the law of autosuggestion, right? We've got the law of faith. We've got the law of love. right? Isn't love a law, if you think about it? What if we thought about love as a law? What if we, you know, we've got our list of 16 laws that Dr. Hill gives us in the Law of Success. What if we added love to that? Or maybe it is already there. Maybe it's kind of mixed in with the golden rule, right? Law number 15. But if we think about the law of love, isn't it true that as we love people more, as we demonstrate our love more by trying to give before we get, by serving, by listening, by, you know, maybe giving little thank yous and little notes of appreciation and whatever other things we can do in our lives, both to our spouses, our children, and also our prospects and, you know, the people that we're working with in business, our team members. I wonder how our lives might be different as we apply the law of love on a little bit deeper level. The law of autosuggestion, right? Another law Dr. Hill points out. And a little additional thought on the law of autosuggestion. This morning in the gym, I was listening to Anthony Robbins' Lessons in Mastery, and for like 30 minutes, he preached to me about the power of questions, about the power of questions and the questions we ask ourselves. And I couldn't help but think about that topic when we were going through the law of autosuggestion. Autosuggestion, how we speak to ourselves, the words we say to ourselves, the affirmations we give ourselves, the thoughts we think to ourselves, and the empowering and or disempowering questions we ask ourselves on a daily basis, right? Isn't that a form of autosuggestion? The questions that we ask ourselves. So that's another law that we can talk about. Now, the last thought that I wanted to hit on before we jump into the mastermind portion of the call, or to kick it off, I should say, is this vision that Dr. Napoleon Hill gives us in the latter part of these last few pages about how business is due for a reform, about how in the future things will be different. People will be able to earn dividends for their labor. They'll be able to earn profits for their labor. They'll be able to share in the profits of the company. They'll be able to put their hand to the plow, and as they give more and as they learn more skills and as they learn how to add value to the marketplace, they'll be able to collect more from the marketplace and the business than just a pittance of a $5 an hour wage or a $6 an hour wage. I love how Dr. Hill, I'll call it, maybe I won't use the word prophesy because that might have some negative connotations, but he envisions, maybe that's a better word, he envisions the future, he envisions a better future, and isn't that sort of what we see today in the form of network marketing, internet marketing, right? And if you're not in those industries, so, you know, indulge me for a moment while I, you know, hop on my soapbox, but if we think about internet marketing, network marketing, you know, home business, isn't that a situation where each individual has the opportunity to come, grow, learn, give, gain skills, add value to the marketplace, learn how to do it in a little bit better way, learn how to sell more products and services, and as they do, their monetary compensation, their remuneration is increased in exact proportion to the skills and the value they bring to the marketplace. Might that not be sort of a piece of Dr. Napoleon Hill's envisioning for the future? I sort of see it that way. It's one of the reasons that I love the profession that I'm in, because it's like it's pretty accurate, right? Like, I failed for the first 5 years, and I had a choice of saying, well, it's the business, it's the market, it's my prospects, it's my friends and family, it's the products, it's the compensation plan. I had a choice of doing that, which I probably did blame a lot of those things in the first five years. But finally, I had to realize, like, wow, you know, if there are other people succeeding around me, then it can't be the business. It can't be the market. It can't be the government. It can't be, you know, all of these other things. It has to be the person. And so I started to take Jim Rohn's advice and work harder on myself than I did on my job. Started to take Napoleon Hill's advice, work on my mindset, think about my vision, think about my purpose. You know, started to learn how to strive to give more in value, you know, go the extra mile. And, you know, isn't it fascinating that things started to turn around for me financially? and I'm still not to the point where I want to be, but, you know, I think it's so cool that, you know, I'm in a profession, and as many of you are, that we can look at where we're at, and wherever we're at, for the most part, we can say, you know, I earned it, or I didn't earn it yet. And we can say, the beautiful thing about that is, as I get better in my skills, I can grow more, I can impact more people, I can earn more money. Isn't that a beautiful thing? It's one of the things I love about this particular profession that I'm in and many of you are in, is that it can be tough. And I love it for that, because it's a challenge. It forces us to go on the inside and dig deep and find out what's inside and plow through temporary setbacks and adversities and continue marching forward and really just look at who we are and what we're doing and how we're doing it and how we can get better. And as we do, we sort of fulfill this vision that Dr. Napoleon Hill laid out, where it doesn't matter where we come from. We can come from a single wide trailer house like I did. We can come from a grocery line like my friend Mike Hobbs did, where, you know, he had this cart of groceries and he was at the checkout line and he pulled out his credit card and the clerk on the other side said, "Sorry, sir, you don't have sufficient funds to pay for these groceries." Then he had to drive home to his family trying to figure out how he was going to tell his wife, Christy, that he wasn't able to bring groceries home for the family. And that guy was able to go forth and earn over $700,000 in his business. Not a guarantee of income, see average earnings disclaimers, whatever company you're working with. But see, these stories of people coming from trailer houses, you know, apartments, the ghetto maybe, you know, all these different experiences, and none of that mattering because they made a decision to learn what they needed to learn, grow in the ways they needed to grow, and just make things happen in their lives so that they could participate in the profits and not have to just work a wage their entire life. So I sort of see that vision of Dr. Napoleon Hill being played out, and I think it's a beautiful thing. And are we done? No, we've got a lot of work to do as we continue moving forward with what we're doing in each of our respective businesses, preaching love, preaching tolerance, preaching purpose, preaching self-confidence, preaching practicing the golden rule, preaching all of these things, initiative, leadership, enthusiasm, self-control, all of these laws, as we continue to practice them on deeper levels, we become an even better example for the people around us, and that spills over into traditional business. It spills over into our families. It spills over into our churches, communities, all the people around us, and we all get better, and we continue marching forth, making this world a better place. So those are some of my thoughts. I'm sorry I rambled on so long. I'm anxious to hear yours. Keep in mind, this is not a company-specific call, so please don't mention company-specific names. But guys, aren't we doing great things here as we study this stuff and apply it? Aren't we doing great things here? I'm inspired by what we've read by Dr. Napoleon Hill, and I'm inspired by you, and I'm inspired by the future. So let's go ahead and unmute the lines here. 1 second. Star 6 is first. Come on out.
Bill Moyt.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, family. Wow. You know, we could talk about this little section here for about a month, but so rich. When you were making your closing comments, I was saying to the phone, "Preach it, Paul, preach it, Paul." I mean, wow, what enthusiasm, what a great message. You know, I was thinking about, there's so much to talk about in this reading, but the one thing that really jumped out to me about was mental suicide. And, a lot of people believe that's what, Elvis Presley suffered from, you know, because he believed he wasn't living any past the life of his mother at what I think was 42. But there's also a thing that there's something opposite, which I think is mental health. In other words, we can think ourselves healthy. So, you know, it wasn't until just, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, it was believed that with old age came illness, that you couldn't avoid illness. And there was a doctor, and I don't remember his name, he came out and did a study and said, no, he said illness in old age is optional. It's not a requirement. It's not part of your body. If you do the right things, you can be healthy till the very end. And so recently I got a book called Younger Next Year. And so one of the things he suggested in there was that we exercise. Once we hit 50, people have a tendency for the health to gradually decline. But if we have certain beliefs, we do certain things. And one of the things he suggested was we exercise 6 days a week. The other thing that I do several things, but I've been reading about supplements and vitamins. I do a lot of that. I'd rather spend money on supplements than the doctor. I mean, healthcare is really sick here in this country. And the other thing I do every day is I juice every day. If you don't know anything about juicing, then check out Joe Cross on the internet. So I'm doing all these things, but I'm also believing that my health will improve every year. Every day I'll get more healthy. Every day I'll have more vitality and more interest. I don't have to decline. And my hero in that is Abby Holiday, who is a realtor that I work with. She's got the largest real estate firm in Texas and one of the biggest in the country. And when she was 98 years old, she was still working every day. And my friend Jay wanted to see her one day. He was real close to her before he left town. And he called her up. He couldn't reach her. She's real busy during the daytime. He called her up. He finally got her around 5 o'clock. Said, "Miss Abby, I'd like to come see you for a few minutes before I leave town." And she said, my trainer's coming over at 6 o'clock. She said, "Well, how about after that?" I said, "Well, I have somebody in from London in the evening." He said, "Well, how about first thing in the morning before I leave? We'll have somebody coming in from Germany." I think she was 103 before she stopped going to the office every day, and she still works at home. So, you know, ill health and aging and all those things, those negative things that come about, a lot of it has to do with our belief, and obviously probably has to do with our actions. But, you know, my wish for everyone that's called, you all be healthier today than you were yesterday and healthier tomorrow than you were today. So you all be blessed, and back to you, Paul. Thank you for this chance.
I love what you shared, Bill. I love what you shared. And I couldn't help but throw out Dr. Hill's comment. Age is a great blessing that brings with it wisdom, self-control, understanding, and wisdom not known to youth. Isn't that true? Especially when we follow those great tips you gave us. Bill, appreciate you so much. One second.
I'm on the Wi-Fi.
Star 6 is next. Come on out.
Lisa Scott, New Jersey.
Veronica from New York.
All right, we got Lisa and then Veronica. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. First of all, I wanted to thank the family for giving that shout out to Robin. When she hears this call, she is going to be blown away, and hopefully she doesn't start crying. She's very sensitive. So I just wanted to say thank you to the Think and Grow Rich family for that. And just last night, because she, you know, has the lucky necklace, she says to me, "Mom, I think I'm going to start a whole product line, a lucky headbands, lucky this and lucky that." I'm like, "Oh, my goodness." I said, "Okay, we're going to look into that, Robin." And she said, "How do we do that?" So when you talked about the power of questions, I said, "Oh, my goodness, the power of that question is going to lead me down the path of teaching this young lady how to create a product line and all this other stuff." So I'm so excited about that. But as far as the chapter, what stuck out to me is the word desire. Every time I hear that word, Paul, it just does something to me, because I have had the same exact burning desire since 2011, starting with myself and my marriage, when I wanted to go deeper inside and understand what was going on, how could I change things? And I understood that it started with myself. When I understood that I had the power to go inside of my thoughts, because it was my thoughts that brought me there, it was my thoughts that was going to change the entire situation. For some reason, I knew that. Before I knew anything about the books and all of the terminology that goes along with all of this stuff, something intuitively told me that it was your thoughts that brought you here, so it's your thoughts that you're going to be able to change. And when I realized that I could zoom in on a thought, and if that thought no longer served me, I could change the thought. It changed my life, and it caused me to have a burning desire and a passion to tell other people that you have this power inside of you. It already resides inside of you. All you need to do is know about it. And then, of course, we need to practice, you know, working on that on a regular basis. But the passion that started inside of me in 2011, Paul, is the exact same burning desire that I have today to continue to speak to people about this. So I just wanted to talk about that and give a shout out to the family. Thank you all, and thank you, Paul. Back to you.
Hey, Lisa, before you go, I love what you shared. So your burning desire is to speak to people about the power of thought and changing. Is that correct?
yes, the power that they already have inside of them to pull out tools that already exist inside of them and utilize those tools in order to shift change in your life. And that starts with thought. So, yes.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. I just wanted to understand that a little bit better. Appreciate you so much, Lisa. You're such a great example.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
You bet. Veronica, hey, good morning.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich family. I'm glad you're still here. oh, my gosh, so many things jumped out, but love kept jumping out at me about just about everything. Moving forward with yourself, having faith in yourself, having faith in your ideas, having faith in the people that you're supporting, all comes from love. And it doesn't have to be that gushy gaga feeling. It's just wanting for somebody else what you want for yourself, success, comfort, enjoyment, you know, to be able to be comfortable. And I just think that people can't help but gravitate towards that, even if they think they're not. I'm reflecting on the teenagers that I've been working with, and the season is coming to a close. I have to make a choice of what I want to do next. But I watch teenagers who are kind of like magnifying glasses of the adults around them. They're kind of like exemplify what they see around them and how people in general complain about something and do it anyway. I think that's the thing that kind of stops you from succeeding, because if you're doing something that you know is good for you or will, you know, benefit you in the long run, and you're complaining about it while you're doing it, you don't get the full benefit. And it just seems like focusing your mind on a purpose and working towards it and not giving the negative vocal thing to it is that razor kind of tool that cuts through obstacles. And I just can't help but think that if you love yourself, you give yourself that. And so I just wanted to share that. I don't know if anybody else feels that, but the word love and that whole, what you were saying, that's just what kept coming through for me. So back to you, Paul.
Powerful thoughts, Veronica. Appreciate you so much.
Hey, Paul. Larry Cook.
Good morning.
Hey, we got Larry next, and then the lady.
Adriana
after Larry.
I'm from Chagrin Falls.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so I was really hit by the statement about Gandhi this morning. I'm a born-again Christian, so obviously when we talk about the faith that the man from Nazareth has is certainly a key part of mine. But what hit me about this concept of the power that Gandhi had and being able to influence 200 million people, you know, that's huge. And what really jumped off the page at me in at this reading was that he did it with he came from a place of no power. He had no money. He had no power. He had no army. He had no nothing. And yet he was able to have this mass influence. And that is really important message for us, because those of us who are in home-based businesses, whether it be network marketing or whatever business we're in, often the people that we're working with are starting from a point where they have no power. And it's really important for us to understand that it's our passion for people, our passion for right, and being able to convey those thoughts to others that will allow us to have the mass influence that we're looking for. And to be able to get beyond ourselves, and it all starts from having faith in ourselves first and faith in our message second, that we can take this forward. We don't have to have a lot of money to begin. We can start by doing whatever we're doing, by having a strong belief in what we believe in. And it just seems to me that that is such a key message for those of us who are in home-based businesses. With that, back to you, Paul and family.
We all start as seeds, don't we, Larry? I appreciate that.
We do.
Was it Bob?
Yes, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Bob. Great. How are you?
Doing wonderful, my man. Doing wonderful. Hey, I come into work. I have a home-based business, and I was on this call this morning, and I had some really good vibes. Call it auto-suggestion, call it whatever you want. But I knew I was going to have a good day. And while I was on this call, I was invited out to go meet with another business owner who is a major player in the industry that I'm in. And we set up a meeting while I was on this call. So that's going to help increase my sales. And it all had to do with having that positive energy that I think everybody on this call has. But what's cool about this call is that you are shedding light on how to stop negativity from flooding your mind, right? So what's really important is to have that positive mental attitude. That should be law number one. And everything else flows from that. Over my desk, I have two quotes. The first one is, riches are what you have, but wealth is who you are. Underneath that, the next quote is, in you is a burning desire to break free from all the bonds holding you back. Here's a hammer. It's up to you on how you're going to use it. So I just wanted to share that real quick.
Oh, man, so powerful, Bob. Thank you for that so very much.
You're welcome.
Hey,
Daniel from Pennsylvania.
Good morning.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Adriana, I think, was waiting to come out. I'm so sorry, Adriana. I skipped over you.
Yes, hi. Hi, guys. Good morning, Think and Grow Rich fam. First of all, I'd like to thank all of you for your thoughts and prayers for my mom. She's doing so amazingly fantastic. She'll be flying home tomorrow. I am very, very, I feel very blessed. And I felt the love through the phone lines yesterday. And it really lifted my spirits even more because, I'm keeping my positive mindset. But you all really looked out for me yesterday. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I felt the love. And I hope you can feel the love right back to each and every one of you. I believe in each and every one of you. And So saying that, today's call is, again, amazing because it always rocks, early in the morning. I love it. Definitely what sticks out to me is the power of auto-suggestion. And it's pretty amazing how every chapter in this book brings out like a memory or something for me and how I literally have gotten to this place in my life and why I'm on this call to begin with. At a home-based business, because I know a lot of us are in home-based businesses and you tend, I used to be very negative about it because it's like, I'm not getting any sales and what's happening? And I don't know, what am I doing wrong? And I would constantly blame myself and blame myself and blame myself. And through this call and even the teachings of Napoleon Hill, I'm realizing the power that I have within and how the power of changing my mindset and constantly keeping on a positive on the positive current is really shifting things for me. And I know it's there, and I know, I already see it, and I say, okay, this is what my life will be, a successful, glorious, happy life. And incredibly, it just clicks in my brain. It, like, literally clicked in my brain, and since I started listening on this call, it's like the seed, like he mentions in the book, it's like the seed that we already have implanted that just needed that water to grow. So, thank you again. Every morning it empowers me, it lifts me up. And also shout out to Lisa Scott. My girls would definitely buy the lucky necklaces that Robin puts out in production. So we'll be waiting for that, and we'll definitely support her. But thank you. You know, we gotta all look out for each other. My daughters want to make bracelets too, so let's keep the kids inspired, keep the current flowing through our children, teach them these lessons, and I'll end it on that. Love you all.
Awesome thoughts, Adriana. Thank you for that. And I'll buy a few, too, even though I've got all boys. We'll give a couple away, Lisa Scott. So you let her know she's got a few sales. Good stuff. Star 6, I heard someone else jumping out. Who's next?
Daniel from Pennsylvania.
Daniel, go ahead, sir.
Good morning, Paul. I just, in terms of auto-suggestion, had a simple, practical example to share, and recently started playing a basketball here locally. It's an outdoor league, and I played basketball in high school and played a little bit of intramural in college, so I'm certainly very familiar and comfortable on the court, but it's interesting. I hadn't played the last couple of years just because I got into golf and then I was more focused in my business, but this was an opportunity for me to get some cardio in. And so I'm here playing with, a little bit of younger kids. I'm 33. Kids between 18 to the mid-20s. And it's interesting because I see myself in this shell where, I'm stumbling, I can't dribble the ball, and it's all in my head. There's going to be some rust there, and I understood that coming in. But in the back of my head, I've told myself that, it's going to take a while for me to get to where I know I can play, or the level that I can play. And it doesn't have to be the greatest level ever, but it's just I was even struggling last week to just manage. So and taking that world and applying it to, anything else, maybe it's my business. What other limiting beliefs do I have that are holding me back and restraining me? And it's almost like watching yourself in a dream, and you're like trying to wake yourself up, but it's just not happening. And so, the great thing about, the league is that next week is another week that I can go out there and conquer those limiting beliefs. But I'm certainly, I'm aware of what is going on with my head and the head game that I'm playing. And I'm also aware of how or where else am I playing those games in my life, because it certainly can be detrimental. And I'm tripping myself up for no apparent reason aside from that I'm letting my mind overpower me when I can certainly take the wheels and take full control of it. So it was a simple example but hopefully it resonates with somebody. Back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts, Daniel. Great thoughts. Good.
Tina,
number
New York
one
City.
Is awareness. Thank you. Yeah, who is that? Who is next?
Florida.
Nicole from North Carolina.
All right, I heard two ladies. Clearly, in here. Again.
Tina, New York City.
Hold on. Kimberly in Florida, you were first. Star 6 calling out.
Morning. Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Good morning.
Rich family. Hey, it is so great to be here live on this call. And I just quickly wanted to express my gratitude for this call and this Think and Grow Rich family. I don't always get to get on live, but I do believe that it is a privilege every once in a while that I really enjoy. And I'm so grateful for the recalibration that happens for my mindset by the simple act of attending this call. And I know that early on, I was in a completely different space. Even though I've been a devotee of Dr. Napoleon Hill for many years, this call has really affected me in a powerful and transformative way. And I have been inviting some new people to the call. I hope that they're taking advantage of it. I hope that they get to get on, because it's really blessed my life. And my association with this Think and Grow Rich family has blessed my life immeasurably. So that's really all I wanted to say this morning. I'd love to hear from Nicole in New York if she's still there.
Awesome stuff, Kimberly. Appreciate you so very, very, very much. And congratulations, by the way, on all your success. Kimberly and her awesome hubby, Rob, are hitting the top of the charts in the company they're promoting. So that's so cool. We'll give you a round of applause here in a couple of minutes, Kimberly. Keep up the good work. So the other lady I thought was in North Carolina, but I could have been mistaken. Who was that coming out next after Kimberly?
That's Nicole, Paul. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
How are you? And good morning, Thinking Glover family. Okay, I'm going to try to be quick with this. The subconscious mind translating things into reality. That is so, so true. And we as people tend to become our situations, especially if whatever's going on in your life at the time is not so favorable. So that auto-suggestion is like, it's so serious, and we all need to be in control of our thoughts. And I know that's a hard thing, but I'm definitely working on that. This poem, I love this poem, and I'm in the process of remembering the major definite purpose self-confidence formula, and I'm going to add this poem to the list because that poem was awesome. Something else that resonated with me, Abraham Lincoln, failing at everything until the age of 40, so that kind of gave me hope because it's never too late. And also, this version of the book that I'm reading, it seems like everything concerning Ether is not in my book, so I'm going to have to get to the bookstore and see if they have a different version. But, yep, anyway, that's about it. And I love all of you guys, Mahara, Lisa, Veronica, Adriana, everybody. You guys just rock, and I love y'all, and I hope everybody has an awesome day.
Awesome. Thank you. Great thoughts. And, yeah, on your last comment about the book, we recommend the 1937 edition, and that's the reason why, because for whatever reason, subsequent editions have had pieces of the book removed. So 1937 edition. Guys, we got amazing people on this call doing great things in life. I believe we're all doing great things in life. Let's continue forth. Let's have an awesome day, and let's give everyone a round of applause for the things they're doing in their life. Lisa Scott, you know, with her daughter, everyone who came out and shared. Kimberly Skinner reaching the top of the charts in her company. I'm going to unmute the lines, guys. Have an awesome day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Thinking Garage Call. Bye for now.
Hey there, my friend. This is Paul Hutchings, and I want to thank you sincerely for listening to this week's edition of the Think and Grow Rich Call podcast. For more information on our community, to learn how you can listen to these calls daily and get the full panorama of all of the content and daily motivation and inspiration that we engage in, and to learn how you can connect with other like-minded entrepreneurs like yourself, feel free to visit our website, our home on the web at www.growrichaudios.com. Again, that's growrichaudios.com. And if you'd like to connect with me, feel free to visit my website, pipelinemoney.com. Again, that's www.pipelinemoney.com. Again, thanks for listening, and whatever you do, never give up on your dreams. Take care, and bye for now.
Never give up.
Love you, everybody.
We love you, too.
Love you more.